is a delight for me to be back here with you. Thank you, Bobby, for that hymn. Thank you very much. Delilah, thank you for playing for her. That's the definition of salvation. I'm his, he is mine. And marriage, isn't it? The whole book, Song of Solomon, is about the love of a husband for his wife, and that's a picture of Christ and his church, isn't it? I am his, and he is mine. That's salvation, and that's marriage. And I believe this message this morning is fitting for the occasion, not only worshiping our Lord, but what's about to take place afterward. Look with me at Matthew 22, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. The Lord is telling a parable about the marriage of the king's son. How fitting is that, that we look at this morning? Marriage for the king's son. Let's go ahead and read the first 14 verses. It says, Jesus answered and spake unto them. These were some Pharisees. He spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed. All things are ready. Come unto the marriage. And they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highway, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now the story here our Lord is telling is the marriage, verse 2, the marriage, a certain king which made a marriage for his son. This is what salvation is all about. This is the gospel of how God, before the world began, purposed to have a people for his son, a kingdom, a spiritual kingdom of people who are married to, united to, in love with his beloved son. God made everything for his son's glory, for his son. And if there's a lesson to be learned here in this, verse 14 is it. For many are called. He concluded by saying, many are called to this marriage, but few are chosen. Now, if you are here this morning because you've been called and you believe and you receive and you love the truth, you love this salvation of the Lord, you love to hear this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're here because you want to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, you're here for out of thanksgiving to God for choosing you, for calling you, for bringing you, for sending Christ to die for your sins and be made sin for you, you might be made the righteousness of God in Him. If you're here to worship the Son, if you're here out of love and thanksgiving and appreciation to God's Son, oh, how blessed you are. How blessed you are. In Revelation 19 it says, blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Brother Larry asked me last time I was here to come and perform this ceremony, this wedding. It was such a high honor for him to ask me to do that. Now, it's a blessed honor and a privilege to be here with you, but for him to bestow that honor on me, well, it was just a great honor for me to do that. How much more those that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb, of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here, you know how many millions of people, persons, right now are gathered together in a religious assembly who don't know why Christ came, don't really care. They do it out of duty, out of habit, in a ceremony, because it's the thing to do, to be seen, or to go hear the music, or to go to be entertained and all of that, and have no clue about the gospel of Christ. You know how many? Most people. Many are called. Most people hear the truth, don't they? Paul even said this. Had they not all heard? Yea, verily. They've all heard it. But few have been chosen. That's his elect. That's his people. They have been chosen to understand who Christ is, why he came. Understand, like that woman that was brought to him. He brought her to him, didn't he? You said there wasn't going to be a Bible study this morning. You gave one. But that woman was brought, the Lord, that was his bride. See, the Lord didn't come to marry a beautiful woman. He came to marry a forlorn woman, an adulteress, a harlot. That's who he came for, sinners like that woman. Oh, she considered, when he told her sins were gone, she was thrilled, like Brother Larry said, thrilled. Her heart rejoiced in her Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody else was there rejoicing, but she was. Because that's one of his chosen, that's his elect, that's his bride, that's who fell in love with him. And that's what this gospel's all about. Those whom Christ loved, whom he caused to come to him, to hear about forgiveness of sin, and they fall in love with him, and they worship the Son. Marriage of the King's Son. Many are called. Few are chosen. Chosen. Most people don't like the sound of that word. God's people do. That's whom God calls them, the elect of God. That's who Christ called them, his elect. God's people know if he hadn't chosen them, they would never have chosen him. Amen. He said in verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king who made a marriage for his son. Now there is a kingdom. There's an unseen kingdom that men and women cannot see. It's an unseen kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. People don't believe it because they can't see it. But our Lord said the things that are eternal are unseen. The things that are seen are temporal. But God has an eternal kingdom. A spiritual kingdom. It's a vast and glorious kingdom. It's the kingdom of God, Scripture says. It's the kingdom of heaven. It's the kingdom of his dear son. That's what he calls it. That's who he's given the kingdom to. His son. It's his son's kingdom. And it's made up of people that worship his son, that love his son. It's his bride. The whole... if you're going to stay for the wedding, it's because you love this man and love this woman. In honor to them, and they've honored you and calling you. Well, that's what the whole kingdom of God and of Christ is all about. Those who God has given a love for his son. And they count it the highest honor. It's called a high honor. It's called a holy calling. It's called a heavenly calling to be brought to the marriage of the king's son. God made everything for his son. Creation was made for the glory of God's Son, who was daily his delight with the Father from the beginning. The certain king is God.
God is king. God reigns and rules. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. You know, this generation knows very little about a king, do they? Huh? I don't know of a king. They're gonna maybe make Charles, Prince Charles, king in England. He won't reign over anything. Parliament will tell him what to do. A king, though, back in the days of old, was an absolute sovereign. He did according to his will. No one told him what to do. He did what he would because he would. Then sovereign, that's sovereignty. Means all power, all authority, nobody over him. That's the God of the Bible. That's the God who reigns and rules. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Does God reign? Absolutely. And it says, Scripture says, and he has sent his king, Christ. Psalm 2 says, he has set his king on his holy hill of Zion. The Lord Jesus Christ reigns and rules over everything. Barnard used to say, over everything that writhes or wriggles. Everything is absolutely under the divine, the sovereign control of Jesus Christ. See, I don't believe that. Well, it's so anyway. And I'm glad. God's people are glad, aren't they? Glad. They rejoice. There's a passage over in the Revelation that said, God, the people rejoiced that God had taken unto himself this reign and rule over everything. And it says that the people of the world were mad. They didn't like it. Well, like it or not, Louis, that's the way it is. Thy God reign. You're smiling. What? You must be one of the called. Most people are gritting their teeth. I don't like that. Oh, God, this is salvation, isn't it? For God to bow the knee. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess someday that he is Lord. And people, idiots, religious people say, make Jesus Lord. God hath made this same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. You don't make him Lord. He is Lord. Salvation comes when he lets you know that he's Lord. He bows your knee, that he causes you to confess with your tongue, you are my Lord, and gives you a heart to love that he is. That's salvation. My king and my God. A certain king. That's why I dwell on that, because he certainly is king. Not because men let him, but because he is. I am that I am, he said. I am king. And he made a marriage for his son. A marriage for the Son, his only begotten, well-beloved Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. He purposed, God purposed to have a bride for his Son. Now, marriages of old used to be arranged by the parents, if they were, well, nearly all of them were. But especially by royalty, didn't they? A king over here in England, a king in Spain got together, and the king in Spain had a daughter, and the king in England had a son, and they decided, let's join our kingdoms and our families together, and we'll betroth our children to one another. And it's going to happen. They're going to get married. Doesn't matter if that woman wants to or not. That's the way it's going to be, isn't it? Betrothed. Well, God Almighty purposed this marriage to his son before the world began and chose a people to be married to his son. And Christ would come to this earth and lay down his life for them, pay the price of their redemption. And his blood would be shed for the remission of their sin. Not everybody, but for his bride, for his elect. And then the Holy Spirit would come through the preaching of the gospel, what I'm doing right now, what your pastor does Sunday after Sunday. And call them out. The Spirit of God will quicken them. Give them an understanding. Open blind eyes. Open deaf ears. Give them a new heart to see their need of Christ. And they'll believe. They'll repent. They'll call. They'll come to Christ. And they'll be united forever to him. What God had purposed before the world began is going to happen. And I'm glad. People say, well, if only elect to be saved, then what does it matter? Don't. Why preach? Why this? Because it's the means that God has chosen. Preaching doesn't save. The gospel saves. The Spirit of God moves upon them. Christ saved, the blood of Christ saved, but it's the means, it's the way he calls out his people. And his people, Christ said, my sheep will hear my voice and they're going to come to me. The Spirit of God is going to move on them and they're going to love Christ and fall in love and repent of their sin. And they're going to come willingly. It's not like they're dragged. They're going, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. They fall in love with him, drawn with cords. Christ said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. He said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw them. And how he draws them is with cords. Cords of love, the cords of a man. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And draws them. And they come willing, don't they? Grateful, like this woman came in sorrow over her sin. And then when he said, your sins are forgiven, she was so grateful. And she's married to him. She's married to him now. And Christ is the faithful husband who said, I will never leave thee or never forsake thee. Listen to this in Hosea. Hosea chapter 2, verse 19. Our Lord says of his people, I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercy. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. Like Adam knew his wife Eve, Christ knows, becomes one with, enters into his bride, and the two become one. And what God joins together, no man can or shall put asunder. That's the gospel. Isn't that good news? Betrothal. God purposed it. Say, I don't like that. Well, I do. Do you? Do you? Those who like it are the betrothed. Those who love God's sovereign election are the elect. Those who love this sovereign call are the called. Are the called. Those who love that Christ is all in salvation are his beloved bride. They're kept women. And they love it. They love it. Kept. You're looking at a kept woman. All the people of God are his bride. They're all his bride. Brother Marvin Stoniker, you know, Brother Marvin and his son, Gabe, he's preached here, I believe, hasn't he? I think. No. Well, anyway, Marvin has. But his son and my daughter are now married. And Brother Marvin and I arranged that. We did. Didn't we, Mindy? We did. They're married, aren't they? Seriously, but when they were children, we'd go on vacations together, our families, and I loved his son so much, and they loved our daughter, Hannah, and Marvin and I talked about it, and I'm sure Linda and Mindy talked about it. Wouldn't that be wonderful if they got together? So Marvin and I arranged it. That's what God has truly done, people. If left up to us, none of us would love his son. None of us would come to his son. Will you take my son? No! That's what happened. Many are called. It said, look at the text. Go back to our text here. Look at the marriage. It said that they were bidden to the wedding. Now bidden doesn't mean invite. It's not an invitation. Kings never invite people to do anything. Would you like to? Kings give commands, don't they? The Psalm David said, thou hast given commandment to save me. I'm so glad, or I wouldn't have come. This bidden is the proclamation of the gospel. Preachers of the gospel don't invite people to accept Jesus as their personal Savior. Preachers of the gospel command men everywhere to repent. Preachers of the gospel declare this message. He's your king. You better bow. That's what preachers of the gospel is. It's a proclamation. It's a declaration. It's not an invitation. It's a declaration, a proclamation. It's bidding. What if it were an invitation? Huh? Ask them. You've asked people, and you've talked to people you work with, or people you know, your family, huh? Would you like to come worship? No. Won't do it. They all, it says in verse 4, they tell them which are bidden, behold, I have, oh, verse 3, they were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. They would not come. Christ, didn't Christ say that? You will not come unto me that you might have life. I heard message after message after message after message after message as a young rebel, and I would not come to Christ. You have people you know that you talk to, they just will not come. Why? Because they don't love God. Man doesn't love God, doesn't love Christ. He loves himself. He loves sin. You know why people don't come to Christ? You know why people don't want to come and worship God? God's not in their thoughts, Romans said. God's not in their thoughts. You'd not like to retain God in their knowledge. I like my life fine. I don't need God. God who clothes us, who feeds us, who waters us, who protects us, who gives us. What do we have we have not received? It's our reasonable service, isn't it, to worship God? Isn't it our reasonable service to come here today and thank God for everything he's done for? You know, there are 168 hours in a week. 168 hours. 167 for us. Can we give one hour apart to come and thank you, Lord, for health. Thank you, Lord, for my home. Thank you for my job. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. God's people principally come and thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you for I'm not in hell. 1 hour. Why? You know, depravity. The truth, the gospel, tells us how man is dead in sin. Dead in trespasses and sin. Nothing proves depravity more than that. Men and women will come to do anything. You advertise a bluegrass singing, this building's not big enough. You advertise some kind of, here it is. You can put a sign up in your yard. Junk for sale. And you can sell the most useless junk. You burn it all the flea markets in the world, burn it all up, nobody'd miss a thing. Trash, junk, garbage. But put a sign up in your yard sale, and you can't, they're like flies. They come to it, don't you? Well, put a sign up and say, we're going to preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. We're going to declare our great God what things he's done for us. Come! Give a little handful. But bless God, John, we're here, aren't we? Huh? And that was me. I'd have gone to the yard sale before I'd have come here about Christ. Was that you? I don't know most of your background, but that was me. I don't want anything to do with that. Here's my salvation. But God, rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved me, quickened me, chose me, called me. I'm here today because he sovereignly drew me. Lester, you're here because God chose you. Not because you chose to, but he chose you. Man, oh man. I never get tired of telling this. It's my story. This is our story. To God be the glory. Great things he had. That's why we're here today. We're here to hear about the marriage of the king's son. Hopefully, maybe somebody, wouldn't it be something if the Lord would marry somebody in here to him this morning? He sent his servants to call them. Tell them they would not come. Over in Luke's gospel, it says one of them said, well, I've bought me some land. I've got to go see that. I bought dirt. I'd rather go see about dirt than worship the Son of God. Oh, well, another fellow said, I got some cattle. I got to go see about them. You know, they get. Another one said, I'm married. I've got a wife here. She just doesn't like that. I know. Besides, she wants to go to Walmart today. Oh, and you don't have time for my son. You think God loves everybody? Think again. You don't have time for my son. and my son came from glory down to this cesspool of iniquity for the likes of sinners like that that don't deserve it, to do what he did on Calvary's tree for unworthy wretches and rebels. He came, and you don't have time for my son? God says, I don't have time for you ever again. I'm done with you. But here we are. Here we are. Who's we? Who are you? Who am I? Who am I? What is my house that you brought me here, David said. Huh? Oh, you see your calling, brethren? How not many wise men at the play, not many mighty, not many noble called, but God hath chosen the weak thing, the foolish thing, things that are not. Are there any kings in here this morning? Anybody with noble blood? Anybody? I don't see one hand raised. Any doctors and lawyers in here this morning? Louie, I know you. Terry, I know him. Bruce, no. Ain't close. Paupers, beggars, and thieves. To God be the glory. He said in verse 4, look at it. He said, tell them that are bidden. He said, I've prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatling, my kill, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. This gospel, oh my, this gospel is about a finished work. This gospel is a salvation that's completely 100% performed, finished by the Lord Jesus Christ. That he did it all. About a righteousness provided. About a salvation that is completely worked out for his people. You don't have to do a thing. Just come. Just bow. Just believe. People say, I don't like that. I like my righteousness better. And made light of it. When the king heard, verse 7, he was wroth. He sent forth his army and destroyed those murderers. And he said in verse 8, the wedding's ready. There is going to be a marriage. There is going to be a marriage. There is a marriage. Right now, it's filling up. Marriage supper is filling up. It's full of people right now. But not completely full. Yet there's room. Thankfully. There's going to be a marriage. And it says, they, verse 8, the wedding's ready, but they that were bidden were not worthy. Who's worthy? Who's worthy? Nobody's worthy. I'm not worthy. You're not worthy. We're not worthy to hear this message. I'm not worthy to tell it. He's worthy. We're going to be singing throughout eternity about his worth. He's worthy. He's worthy. They that are bidden were not worthy. So here's how his bride comes to be. Verse 9. Go therefore in the highways, and as many as you find, bid them to the marriage. As many as you find. You're not found unless you're lost first. You've got to be lost to be found. You've got to be blind to see. You've got to be deaf to hear. You've got to be dead to be raised. As many as you find. That's who, he sends his servants through the preaching of the gospel. God has blessed you with a faithful servant, preacher of the gospel. And if your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors, your relatives are going to be saved, but it's going to be through the preaching of the gospel. And if they're going to, he's going to save them here, it's going to be through that man. That's a faithful servant right there. You're so blessed. This community doesn't think so. Nah. Ain't nothing to that. Oh, man. God does. That's who he sent. And they made light of his servants from the beginning. They made light of all of them. Killed all the prophets. Killed all the apostles save one. And if it were lawful, they'd kill this man. But no, God has people. And they're going to come. If you're one of them, how blessed you are. How blessed you are. Well, he said, bring them in. Verse 10. The servants went out in the highways, and they gathered together as many as they found. He said, they found them. Both bad and good. Wait a minute, preacher. Ain't nobody good. Well, that's right. That's what the scripture said. But they think they're good. They're self-righteous. There are not too many Pharisees saved, but there are some. I venture to say some of you were in religion before, weren't you? And that made you a Pharisee, a self-righteous Pharisee, a goody. You know, you thought you were something, didn't you? And you first heard the gospel. Bobby, was that you? I don't know. But when you first heard the gospel through whoever it was, and he told you you was a sinner, you probably thought, I ain't no sinner. But God. See, if you're chosen by him, he's going to tell you you're a sinner. And you're going to find out, though you think you're good, I'm no good. I'm wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And then there's the bad. Really bad. Gutter dweller. My sister and I were opposites. I was the prodigal son. My sister was the role model. My sister's the one you wanted, every man wanted his son to marry. Okay? I'm the boy that nobody wanted their daughter to marry. It takes the same grace to save either one of them. God had to make her realize she's a wretched sinner. God had to make me realize that. Same grace. Gather them together. We're gathered by the Spirit of God, by the gospel. We're found by the Spirit of God, by the gospel, and brought to this marriage of his son. And the wedding is furnished with guests. It's not our right. We're a guest, aren't we? It's not what we're worthy of. We're a guest. You know, modern marriages, they send out, I hope y'all didn't do this. I don't think you did. I didn't get one of these invitations. I don't think. But it's, you know, the right honorable so-and-so request the presence of your, request your presence at the marriage of our most honorable and glorious daughter. That's not what God does to sinners. God commands them to repent. God sends out this bidding, this gospel call, and says, now I have a son, and he's altogether lovely to me, and I made this whole universe for him. Come. And those that won't come, he says, cast them out. Those that do come, come because he called them, because he made them come. Salvation's of the Lord. Why do you say all this, preacher? Because it's so. Because God gets the glory. And if you have an interest, you're here this morning out of an interest of God's Son. Oh, bless God. And, you know, this is what we're going to be doing throughout eternity. Some people think, you know, like pulling teeth to get people to come worship. Well, you don't want to be in glory. You don't want to be in heaven. That's all we're going to be doing. One fella didn't have this wedding garment on. What's that? That's the righteousness of Christ. And people would rather work up something they hear. I like what I'm doing, what I've done for God. God said, cast him out. And he says in verse 14, in closing, many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called. Haven't they not all heard? Yea, barely. Many are called. He went out and found the poor, the maimed, the blind, the halt, the lame, the no good. Those, like he said, had nothing. And he provides them with the wedding garment. He provides them with the wedding garment. And they're so glad because they wore rags. They came in with rags. And like Bartimaeus, they throw that away. That old religion, that old profession of faith, they're righteous. They throw that away real quick and come running to Christ. Oh, give me. That's what he said to that prodigal son. That's the first thing. When the prodigal son came home, the father said, bring the best robe. And do what? Offer it to him? Nah. Put it on him. God's people, Louis, you're nodding your head again. Look at there. He's wearing one. He said, I don't see it. Oh, yeah. That's those that love the righteousness of Christ. That's what they do when they hear about it. Yeah, that's my covering. That's my dress. That's my beauty. That's my hope. That's my salvation. While the world says, I don't believe in that. You know, this wedding is a great high honor and a privilege. Blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We had a young lady in our church that married Brother Cody Groover's son, Austin. And they were married in Lexington, Kentucky by Brother Todd Niver. And Mindy went down there, and I couldn't. I had to preach the next day on Sunday, okay? So there, they had this wedding, two believers. And that's the only true marriage they're in. We're about to witness two believers being married. That's a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing. There is no real marriage outside of that. But anyway, I watched that marriage of that young lady and Austin Groover on live streaming. They had it on live streaming. I sat at home Saturday afternoon, and I watched that. And I saw my bride. I saw Mindy on there. I saw Brother Todd, my brother. I saw brother after sister after sister. And this marriage, you know, a wedding, a marriage is a wonderful thing. It's a festive thing. It's a happy occasion. And it's a joyous occasion. Everybody's so, you know, anything you enjoy more in a wedding, unless you're performing it, anything you enjoy more than a marriage, it's a happy occasion. And when I was watching, everybody was so happy. Everybody was so joyful. Everybody was so festive. There was people I loved. But Steve, I wasn't there. I wasn't there. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. Oh, Lord. I mean, I have felt this sinking feeling. I felt so alone. I felt that like I was falling down in a hole. I thought, oh, Lord, don't let me miss the marriage supper of the Lamb. Our Lord even said that. He said, you're going to see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of them seated down, and these publicans and harlots seated with them, and you're going to be left out the sun. Call. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you'll call by the gospel. My, my. Oh, may the Lord make you and I, me, his bride, his precious bride. Do you know him? Do you love him? You going to be there? If you are, it's going to be by his grace. Oh, blessed be his holy name. All right, brother.